With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back, team. Thank you so much for downloading another episode of Hardcore Listening with Christopher and Stuart. This week's episode we actually filmed and broadcast on YouTube. Or it should be up now, I should imagine. We did a listener top fives just between me and my handsome co-host. We had loads left over from all the great ones you'd already submitted, so we thought we'd rattle through a few. I don't know why we filmed it. We thought, why the heck not? Let's just see what happens. Brad Acton offered, who's a friend of Stu's, who's a lovely chap. So thanks, Brad. He's at Brad Acton _ on Insta. Other thanks will go to, obviously, 76 for mastering this for the podcast and the rest of the Distraction Pieces crew. I'm not going to dribble on for much longer. Hope you enjoy. All I'll say is this listener top fives, me and Stu picked two each and we went through them carefully, so we actually thought about the top fives before we came to discuss them, so we could go into a bit more detail. Goes on, we talk about music quite a lot, and for some reason, talking about Stu with his pants down, like, way too much. So, enjoy that, and we'll catch you at the end. Oh, and I should say that at the end of part one, we've got a little exclusive track from one of our favourite bands that's up and coming, because Redshift, we tend to promote music, so we thought, why not stick a track at the end of some of our podcasts? So you got that to look forward to too. Speak to you soon, folks. Peace.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listening, the podcast.
Watch out.
This is what they do. This is what professionals do.
Because we're filming.
Yeah, because it's how you sync up light with sound. Like that. That is a meek clap.
It was quite meek, wasn't
from
it?
From someone who's got, like, man hands.
I haven't. I've got small hands. They're bigger than yours. Podcast gold.
Set myself up for that.
Right, well, I'm going to ask you how you've been, even though I've been sitting up beside you for about an hour. I've been fucking around trying to get this right. But are you all right?
You've made an assumption that you've asked me already, and you
Did
haven't.
Did I not ask you? No. The minute you walked in, I ripped the piss out of your camouflage teenager's tracksuit bottoms that you got on. They ain't going to see them, are they? The camo.
I'm actually, how am I, going to have a whinge.
Go on, what's wrong?
I'm going to take these camo tracksuit bottoms back right to the supplier.
Perishing round the crutch because of your constant erections.
No, look. Look at my crutch. Oh, you can't.
Look at that. You said that a few times, didn't you?
Yeah. Can you see that? No, I've got it. There you go, look. Look, it's gone white there.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see that? That's a bit weird. The first chance we've had.
Brilliant. I love the fact that this is the first time that we're actually videoing.
It's tearing around my crutch.
Right, brilliant. Amazing. And that's certainly nothing to do with your
massive
minuscule
You walked into that, mate. So literally the first thing I've done as soon as we filmed is
show everybody your crotch bulge. Brilliant. Okay. If you're listening to this on audio, I wouldn't bother going on to YouTube to look at that.
Immediately. It's just
Chrissy's camouflage crotch.
Sweet.
Okay, so...
I'm well.
Right, okay.
How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm actually... I've been looking forward to this one.
So have I.
Well, I look forward to them all because...
It's fun.
It's fun, isn't it? It's our little lobby now, isn't it? But we're... it's been quite a busy week, haven't we? We've been approached by other podcasts this week to go and guest on theirs, which is lovely. We've had... what else have we done? We've announced... Well, we haven't announced, but I suppose we can announce now. And by the time this comes out, it will probably be out there on the social media. But
in the ether.
We're going to do a live show, aren't we?
The
Hoxton Bar and Grill in Hoxton Square, that is, isn't it?
10th of August.
10th of August. It's a Thursday night. And yeah, we're not sure how it's going to go. We're going to put a couple of desks on a stage and drink a shitload. You lovely people can get involved and come up and ask us top fives and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll have some.
We'll iron out the format.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it will be predominantly, obviously, top fives and how we do that. Maybe we'll have a few pre-planned. Maybe we'll have a little box at the front that people can submit. In and then
you don't actually want to interact with any of them.
No, I'd rather there was some sort of perspex screen as well.
Right. Just sorry, Mariah. I didn't realise that you've been podcasting for 6 weeks and
I don't want people spitting on me.
Yeah.
Who was your mate?
Oh,
cunt?
You wanker.
Was your mate cunt in the gang? Didn't he have like? Didn't he do what was that song he did about Amy snuffed
Amy,
it?
Amy, what a shamey. Yeah.
Amy, what a shamey. And then some lad showed up at his gig with a super soaker full of piss, didn't they?
His own piss, that he'd been storing in tubes in his fridge and documenting it on a blog. today I filled up, I think one blog entry was today, I filled up my fridge with test tubes of my acrid piss to release into cunt's eyes. it was the ramblings of a fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
It was really scary and quite horrible. Yeah. And but I've been all right. I've been all right. Thank you for asking, Christopher.
That's all right, mate.
Yeah, we're last time we done one of these listeners, Pip come over. Pip's jetted off to LA today, hasn't he?
Oh, oh,
he's such a fucking big deal, isn't he?
He's only told me that 12 times so far today.
Yeah.
And he texts me at 6 a.m. just to let me know.
Yeah.
Guess where I'm going today? Don't know, mate. Where are you off to? LA. Hang out with all his LA mates. Although I think, I don't know if he's let this on, but he said that the UFC's on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So when he lands, he's not telling anyone in LA that he's in LA until Monday because he wants to just watch UFC and get Pizza Hut. Because he loves the Pizza Hut starter, the garlic ball nuts. So that's... I love him for that, the fact he gets there and he's like, no. First things first, the UFC, Pizza Hut starter.
God,
amazing.
Weird, so weird.
So we're gonna do a listener top five as well.
Someone
for
has
this
actually
one.
Suggested top five weird things about Pip that makes logical sense. But let's not go there.
I don't know how many, just quickly on that, since we are doing a list in the top five, just off the top of your head, what ones would you have?
What about him? Pip?
Mm.
The fact that he always wears socks with odd numbers on, but them numbers always add up to 4 or 6, 5. Yeah, it was really weird, because we was out, wasn't we? We was going to...
I can't remember where we were going.
It was in Soho. What was we doing in Soho?
We was recording a podcast.
The drunk cast.
It was, yeah.
And I remember we was queuing up to buy some ice for Romesh's bottle of Kraken. He didn't really need that chilled. He polished it off in about 40 minutes.
There's no chance of that warming up.
And I thought it was quite... Yeah, we was queuing up and he went... It's just how that socks. And you went, yeah, remember when you was a fucking dickhead and you used to wear like socks that added up to 5? And he just lifted his jeans up and he had...
A 2 and a 3.
Yeah,
on his socks. Yeah,
so
unbelievable.
Odd. Yeah.
So then I would say he's too watch thing.
Yeah, weird.
And his argument for that, which we've still been... It's been raging for probably 18 years between us, is that, well, you don't have
How many earrings do you wear? Two. How many gloves do you wear? Two. How many watches do you wear? Two. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. He's like, well, you have two. How many shoes do you have? Do you wear? Two. How many socks? Two. Two watches then. And I'm like, no, because you need all of those things. Like, you can't go out with one shoe. But to tell the time,
you just need one.
You need one. However, we've been talking about this for 18 years. The other day when I was with him, one of them, the fucking battery had died. So actually, he's right in a way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if one dies, you've always got the, yeah, the second one. So it's only taken 18 years for that strange fashion choice.
Speaking of cunt in the gang, we've grown up together and known each other as long as you've probably known Pip.
Probably longer, because... When did you meet him?
Cunt, on my first night at Cub Scouts when I was five. And,
did you really?
Yeah.
That's definitely longer than I've known Pip then.
So, yeah.
That's 50 years.
That's,
sorry.
No, but when we used to get in his car, he was one of them people that was really stingy with the heaters.
Right.
And I hate that. Like, if you're cold in the car, put the heaters on. And he's like, no. And I was like, why? He went, well, it burns petrol. And I was like, that's bullshit. And he went, no, it's not. And I went, it is. And we'd had this ongoing argument for years that, if the heating's up full, it burns the petrol. And I think about two birthdays ago, he got me a birthday card, and in it was pages that he'd taken out of some kind of car manual that actually clarified that, it does.
A lot? Because I always...
No, not a lot.
Because I always thought that when you had it hot, like, this isn't a recent fault of mine, but when you had it hot, it was diverting heat off the engine.
Yeah, that is the case, I believe.
Oh, okay. And when it's cold, it sort of like gets sucking in from outside.
Heat, didn't you? Your car's overheating, you whack up all your heaters and that, didn't you? Because I thought it detracted heat from the engine. Fuck me, this is boring.
Okay, take care, guys.
That was possibly the shittest intro to our first ever.
What do you want to do? I was actually thinking of showing up in a dressing gown.
All right.
Yeah, just say this is how we normally dress.
Yeah, my kids don't need to see that.
I have seen it, mate. Can we just thank? So we're having it filmed.
Yes.
Can we just thank Brad? For hooking us up with that. Cheers, mate. Hope it's going all right.
So we're doing listener top fives tonight. Previously, when we done it with Pip, and when me and you done one several weeks back, we just rattled through loads, didn't we? And
I think
tonight we're going to try and be a bit more lean and drill down into a couple each.
Yes.
So, what's your first five going to be?
Top five twins.
Fucking rubbish.
Top five twins.
Well, I don't even know I'm acting surprised, because you text me this earlier, I'm doing top five twins, and I was like, that's shit.
You were fucking rude.
Alright, yeah, go on then. It was really annoying.
Twins is shit. How many twins are there that people know? And that film is shit.
I think I then said, and I know what's best for you.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you've been telling me.
I'm starting a new... I'm going to become Chrissy's life coach. I've decided...
That's, you're taking your biting off too much there, mate.
I didn't say brief. And I just thought, I'm going to start thinking I know best. And I think I know what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you felt not twins.
No.
And I figured that we...
Well, I'll tell you what, blow me away with twins.
Oh... First and foremost, I didn't think there's many interested in real life twins, to be honest with you.
Oh, fucking hell, this better not involve Dungeons and Dragons and shit like that.
No, there's not many. There's not many Dungeons and Dragons. So I went for movie twins, mostly.
Right. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To jazz it up a little bit.
All right.
But when I was doing a little bit of homework, I did have a look at, you know, famous people who are twins.
Yeah.
Or who have twins. Do you know any celebrities who have twins?
There's them Olsen twins, isn't there?
Yes, but yeah, that's an obvious one.
All right.
Sorry. 0 points.
Off the top of my head, no.
Brilliant. Alanis Morissette.
She's a twin?
Yep.
Or she has twin kids?
No, she's a twin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're now, oh, look at you getting all excited.
Well, no, because that's not interesting, is it?
Oh, you're excited, I can tell.
I want you to tell me something really fun about some twins that I know both of, and I want to know both of them.
Ollie Murs.
Oh, yeah, but he's fallen out of you, isn't he?
Has he? I mean, how the fuck do you know that? That's crazy. What are you reading, Heat magazine?
I wonder if Ollie Mersey's brother, I like to think his name's something like Wally Mers.
like, yeah, no, it is. Yeah, definitely.
Wouldn't it be great if he was an Ollie Mers tribute act?
Because
he'd be fucking great, wouldn't
he? Yeah, I'd go and watch that.
Yeah.
I'd watch that. I would. I'd support him more.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Ollie Mers. Don't know the motherfucker. Right. Ashton Kutcher.
Climbing his ass.
Right. Ashton Kutcher.
Yep.
Kiefer Sutherland got a twin sister.
Oh, really? Made that up?
I'm not making that up. I'm not making that up. Just
right.
And then Scarlett Johansson.
Right, okay. Well, she's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a twin brother, unfortunately.
Ah, right.
So you can't date him to get to her, unfortunately. You could.
Yeah.
You could try.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'll give it a whirl. So that's it. So I went on to my other top five. So top five twins.
All right.
Luke and Leia from Star Wars.
That's a great shout. That's a really fucking good shout.
Exactly. Didn't see it coming, did you? I threw a curveball at you.
No, I didn't.
And it's spooky, isn't it? Because how that all comes out in Star Wars is like, you know, in Empire Strikes Back, she gives him a little kiss.
Yeah.
She gives him a little kissy.
Yeah.
Doesn't she?
Bit. Yeah,
weird. Goes incest, yeah. Doesn't it?
She's bloody lovely, though, weren't she?
Oh, she's smoking hot. I mean, yeah. If she was your sister...
Oh, what?
There's got to be a point at which everyone goes, oh, come on.
I always thought the brother in The Cause...
What, you'd kiss the brother in The Cause?
I just thought he was bloody lovely. No, I just thought, like... backstage...
Yeah.
It's frantic, costume change, like...
Are you suggesting?
No, but I'm just suggesting
he was trying to cop a look at his own sisters. Do you reckon he started the band because he wanted to see
a bit of muff? I'm just thinking, do you think he was just like, oh, Andrea's come loose? Like, I don't know,
I
don't know, she was...
I would run away. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice one. I didn't think of those guys, in fairness, because they are all sort of like, some of them are twins, are they, or not?
I think they're just siblings.
Oh, okay. All right, fuck it. All right. So, Luke and Leia.
Yep.
The next one, this just gave me nightmares for fucking ever, was the Grady twins in The Shining.
Shining, yeah.
Because I saw that when I was about 9. And it was on old school VHS. I was around a mate's house, one of my karate buddies.
Sorry, you mean VHS, not old school VHS?
VHS.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I was with one of my karate pals, and...
Every fucking podcast. What? Every podcast. What belt was you, Chris?
Oh. Rhymes with Jack.
Such a wanker.
You just mime to the camera.
You was actually... back. You tried to impress Gal Porter with telling her you was a black belt. You just, fucking
just looked at me. Gal was digging me out a lot. I liked it. I liked it, you know. Yeah. Because some people, when you first meet them, sometimes you're not comfortable. You know, you don't... I'm not someone who generally want to take the piss out of people when I first meet them.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do feel comfortable with that, don't you?
You bring that out in other people. I've seen people instantly just feel comfortable.
Digging me out. I do.
Yeah. Oh, there goes your phone. Yet again.
Who is it?
Amazing.
Live video. Just me, mum.
Brilliant.
So the Grady twins. I saw that on VHS, and just that we started, pressed play on this video, didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And straight away, it was like scenes with corridors with blood flowing down and just those two twins, and that haunted me for fucking years. So yes. The fact that they didn't say anything didn't even matter.
I actually watched it with my eldest about a month ago. No, do you know, it might have been sort of Christmas time, I think.
Oh, that's a lovely Christmas family movie.
No,
Valley.
No, but she got into it.
Mm.
And it's a fucking cracking film, that. It's so fucking good. Do you know what? I'm actually impressed so far. You've actually done research.
We're here. I'm about to...
Right, okay, okay.
Now this one is right. It is twins, but it's the same person.
Oh, okay.
Who do you think? Did you just fart again? What is that clicking
noise? I don't know. Is this like going to be something like Face Off or something like that?
No, because they're not twins in that. Have you ever seen that movie?
Years ago. I don't know. It's going to be shit. Go on.
When has Van Damme ever been shit?
Oh, amazing.
Double Impact.
Brilliant.
Have you never seen Double Impact?
Of course I've never seen Double Impact.
You've never seen Double Impact? No. It's fucking brilliant.
Is it?
Yeah, it was one of the first ones where
Does
they
he
did...
fight himself?
They have a bit of a tear-up.
Do you but know what? When
they
you
quickly la- make amends.
When did you last watch it? Tuesday.
You know, I said I was working today on Redshift. I was just watching Double Impact.
Brilliant.
I watched Double Impact twice. Yeah. So oh, right. Quadruple Impact.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Right.
But I have a rumble in it, and he's got two different personalities in it.
Oh.
One's French, I think. And one's like a bit more, you know, and one's a bit more crazy and wacky.
Brilliant.
And then, yeah, they get into hijinks and all that. And it has a lot of those moves in Van Damme when he'll go, yeah! And then they'll just replay it. Yeah, yeah, yeah! They keep replaying the same move. And then right. That's it. I reckon about 30% of that movie is just the same move. Just being replayed.
Why don't they, in fight scenes anymore, do that move... which in the 80s like was just a killer strike that obviously carries no clout at all, but everyone done it. Whereas if someone is approaching you from behind, you'd elbow back and then you go and flick the fist up.
That was, yeah.
Into like some sort of shit back fist.
Yeah.
Like, B.A. Baracus dropped some serious fucking dudes with that strike.
No. Right. Yeah, word up. And it was in Batman as well.
Was it?
Like one of the open seas of Batman. Batman goes like this.
Kapow.
But it's Batman, right? So he's just levelling up on it. He went like that. In the balls.
Right.
And then they're looking down. Guess where he goes?
Oh, right. Back up again.
Yeah, straight back up like that.
Brilliant.
Geezer's out of it. I think he's still not come through. He's still out cold now. So Van Damme, Double Impact. One of the first movies where from what I saw, I don't know if they've done it much before that, where they had like the person play the same.
Yeah.
You know, and in the same scene as each other. And there's probably been loads of movies since then as well. Okay. But the original's the best. Okay, next one. Now these are real life.
Okay.
So can twins. I guess? Yeah, go on.
Oh no, better not in case I guess number one.
No, go on. Have a little guess.
Craze.
Yeah.
Right, there you go.
Now, I don't like to... I rate them, but maybe not in the way other people do. Like, I don't idolise the Craze.
Well,
I
they
don't
love their mother.
What's that, mate?
They never done
I did they... love their mother. Yeah, and they sure did. You've got to respect them for that. I just find them fascinating.
Yeah.
The movie Legend was pretty decent with Tom Hardy. Oh, there we go. Double Impact, then Tom Hardy played that.
Yeah.
Not as well as Van Damme, sorry Tom.
Obviously.
But awesome movie. Yeah. But I just don't like how we celebrate criminals as much as we do. When actually, you know, I don't know the Craze, so how can I tell if they were legends or not? Yeah. I didn't meet them. But they are hugely fascinating people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean...
people are always going
to
be...
Respecting the balls those two lads had to do what they did, you know, is...
I don't doubt anything they've done, but obviously... Over time, like anything, it all becomes embellished, doesn't it? And folklore becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
But it's very apparent, isn't it, that as humans, we have a lot of us have a fixation with criminals and the underworld and powerful people that, you know, that operate outside of the law and... It's quite primal, isn't it, to a degree? And I think, like, people, you've only got to look at the amount of British gangster films that are out there that are huge. And I think, like, it is something that people are definitely drawn to and drawn to violence.
Yeah,
I think it's
it is all primal, and also I think there's a degree of like that, you know, the rebellious nature of the underworld, and which I in ways agree with because I don't see. A lot of things that our current government does, and the banking system, I think, is way worse than what gangsters do.
Fucking
so it's not a case of it's the illegal nature. I kind of respect that they're like, okay, that's your law, but we're going to ignore it. I kind of think that's kind of all right. But then when it comes into people suffering,
yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of the time, I think Legend didn't do too bad a job of it, but a lot of gangster movies, they don't focus on the suffering,
yeah.
You know, like the people who get hurt, you know. If you're a criminal and you fuck another criminal over, I'm kind of in the books of, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But I think it's the you know, yeah. The general public, that's where I don't like it. But anyway, they're my number two because they're always fascinating. I love watching documentaries on those guys.
Who would be your ideal celebrity to be a gangster?
It sounds funny, but... Tom Hardy did The Take. Did you ever see The Take?
Oh, I adore The Take.
Right, it's the shit. As far as that goes, it depends what sort of gangster you want, but how Tom portrayed the craze was just fucking really fun to watch. So that would have been my go-to, if you've asked me. Other than that, I don't know. Have you got one that's just straight there, ready to go?
Yeah, Wolf from Gladiators.
Okay.
Scary motherfucker.
Well, can you imagine...
Imagine that.
Imagine the craze portrayed by Wolf and Shadow from Gladiators. That'd be crazy.
Would you have fucked with them?
No.
Exactly, mate.
I'd have given them my tuck money. Literally immediately.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Do you reckon Wolf's, like, do you reckon Wolf's in the top 10 hardest people in the UK?
Well, there's... yeah, I mean, still, yeah. I think we spoke about this on one of the other drug
casts. Yeah, we did. We mentioned that
he sorted out some geezer who tried nicking his Ferrari. Brilliant. Just fucking bent him up.
Well, I did mention, if you hadn't listened to many of our drunk casts on Pip's podcast, in Grays there was a sports shop that he owned, and I shit you not, in Grays precinct there was Wolf Sports.
Wolf Sports, that's so cool.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I would say he's. Yeah, definitely probably in the top 10 hardest people in the UK, if not maybe Europe.
I'm surprised Danny Dyer hasn't done a you know, sit down with Wolf yet.
Yeah.
The average day, you know, a day in the life of Wolf.
Yeah. I'm just walking into Wolf's bedsit and...
bedsit?
Yeah. There's Wolf's little cubs everywhere. My arsehole's going already. Right. Okay. So, what's your number one then? Make it good.
Yeah, oh, it's good, mate.
It's not easy. I know it's going to be, and it's fucking shit.
It's the movie.
Brilliant.
Twins.
Oh.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Brilliant.
How do you not
like
that?
Because it's for the fucking rubbish film.
Oh, it's a fucking... Right. What? Number one, it's not a rubbish film.
Right.
Number two, it's actually an excellent film. This is kind of the shit sort of list. Oh, it's a feel-good movie. I love Danny DeVito. He's a fucking funny dude. Like, in Taxi, I didn't watch that so much. That even now...
You can't remember Taxi.
I'd say you used to see bits of it. But even now in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, it's one of the best comedy TV series
on there.
I'm
taking nothing away from Danny DeVito.
He's a funny motherfucker. I love him. And it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's just brilliant in everything.
Is he?
Yeah. I mean, it's a fact that he's brilliant in everything. If I was to type that in Google now, is Arnold Schwarzenegger? I'm going to do it now. You watch.
Yeah.
Google, is Arnold Schwarzenegger? It will say brilliant in everything. Is Arnold Schwarzenegger? Have you been able to spell Schwarzenegger?
No, because I'm not interested in him. He don't do anything for
me. Is Arnold Schwarzenegger, what was I going to say? Oh, no. It doesn't say that. It says, is Arnold Schwarzenegger? What are the top four results?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger on steroids?
No.
Dead?
Yeah. German?
Yeah.
Vegan?
Yeah.
President?
he got right involved, didn't he?
What cunt thinks he's president, though? Seriously, who's putting that in there?
Brilliant.
Into Google? Is Arnold Schwarzenegger... What are they fucking watching? Has he ever been president in any movie? No, he hasn't. I don't think so. Stupid. Anyway, back to Twins. It's fucking funny. Great storyline. It, you know, unifies them in the end and they have all their differences, but in the end, they're brilliant, even though Danny DeVito is still fundamentally a bit of a shit in it.
All right.
It's fucking wicked.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it a couple of times.
You must have seen it. I reckon you've seen it at least five times.
I saw it at the cinema because obviously I'm old and mm-hmm. I remember when it came out.
Who did you take there?
Well, I wouldn't have been taking a girl because I was probably about 12.
Okay. Slow starter, was you?
Oh, all right, Russell Brand. Fucking hell. Fucking hell.
First movie you took a girl to see?
I don't think I ever took a girl to the cinema.
Ever?
Well, no, not like growing up. Like, I was well slow like on picking up on like girls and stuff like that. It was only kind of when I got into like DJing and stuff like that and in the band.
I mean, it was a big deal. And they were just literally flocking.
Now I just thought, oh, this is suddenly easier.
Yeah.
And but it's only so long before they see through the fact that you're a DJ and you're in the band and they just kind of get to know you. And that's when they realise fundamentally you are still a prick. Like, so, yeah.
Yeah, I feel your pain, mate.
Don't know. I think it would have been I can't even remember. Like, no, can't remember what film I was ever first one took a girl to see.
Sleepless in Seattle was mine.
Oh,
had a little nap in there as well, which is ironic. Oh, it was fucking
she must
boring.
Have had a smashing time.
Boring! Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she noticed that bit.
Oh, right. She was paying you a lot of attention then.
Well, she's watching the movie, mate. You know, so... Yeah. I was young. I was rude. Yeah. I wasn't that rude, because once it ended, I was polite and we had fun, but...
Yeah.
Just couldn't stick with it. I've never been a big sort of rom-com. That's never been my sort of... I know I can do the major ones, but, you know...
I mean, that was quite a major one.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah.
But for like a...
Probably the two biggest.
For like an eight-year-old or something, it wasn't... No, I was about 15, I guess.
Right, there
it wasn't
we go.
Like, I wasn't like dating before. No, I didn't... Yeah. I didn't get girls at all at that age, I don't think. You know, at the school discos and that.
Well, you was too busy in your dojo, weren't you?
I was very corrupt.
Perfecting your fucking spinning round asses.
It is one of those things that you have to practice celibacy to be at the top of your, top of your game like, at 14.
Do you have to like have a little clear out before training?
What are we talking about?
Yeah. Because it's affectionately known in amongst me and my friends as having a Marvin, because apparently, as word would have it, when the incredible Mr. Marvin Gaye was recording What's Going On, obviously he was all about the sex, but with What's Going On was A, one of the greatest albums ever made, and B, very political.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he had to lay his vocals down, he was still feeling a bit sexy that he would have to go and have a Marvin to kind of clear his mind of anything to focus on his... What the songs were
just
about.
So damn sexy.
Yeah. You know, they'd be like, and action, let's get it. No, it's not that song. Like, and he'd just want to go, oh, I don't know.
Get back to the sexy.
But, he was Mr. Lover.
Yeah. Well, no, is your answer. I never used to. But then my whole, like, I joke about being a black belt. I mean, that was so long ago, I couldn't throw a punch now.
Yep.
So it was so long ago, I wasn't really exactly, you know, dying to have a wank at any point, really. So, yeah, no.
Did you ever stand in front of the mirror in your gi with your black belt on and mock a fight with yourself like Double Impact?
I can neither confirm or deny that, to be honest with you. I'm pretty certain I kept that black belt on for about 3 years. Never took it off.
Night, Mum.
Still got bullied.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, so twins. And you know, anyone listening who agrees with me on...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That being an amazing movie, amazing feel-good movie, then shout it out on Insta or Twitter and, you know, or dig me out about it. Who gives a fuck? Honourable mentions, The Proclaimers.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Twin Town, which was Reese Iffens with his brother. Oh, no.
Right, said Fred.
yeah, of course. Another one, Winky and Blinky. I had to figure out, I had to look up their names.
Twinkie and what?
No. Winky and Blinky, these were just, it was a very short scene, but it never left me. It's in The Basketball Diaries with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And it's the two hot twins.
Yep, yeah.
And one of them literally hands him a bag of cocaine.
Yeah.
And, oh my God.
Oh, they're so fit. Watch that film again.
Yeah. It's an amazing movie. Yeah. It's dope. Yeah. And those girls were like super hot.
Yeah,
so honourable mention to them. Hated twins, just two I've got here. They were called Skids and Mudflaps in Transformers 2. They were two identical twin robots that were just parodies of black culture, and it was embarrassing because they were all like, yeah, man, and they added nothing to it. It was embarrassing. Yeah. It was just terrible to do that. And then, you know, those two cunts. Oh, I'm Jonathan, and I'm Edward. And together we're cunts, Jedward.
Oh, right, yeah.
They've got to be my... I don't like them guys very much. They're young and they're, you know, God bless them and all that, but they grate on me.
I definitely spoke to you about the time I was backstage when they snapped their leg.
Yes. Oh, gosh. I don't know if you've told that. Go on.
Well, I was at T4 on the beach with some people that were DJing that I was looking after at the time. And it was a really weird day. Like, it was just loads of really shit bands playing. But I got to DJ at T4 on the beach to, fucking hell, 30, 40,000 people.
Sweet.
Which was amazing.
What'd you play?
And, indie. Da 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 da. No, obviously this was 6 years ago, so it was like Mr. Brightside, Sex on Fire, just pure indie pop filler. But to see the reaction and to be able to...
A buzz.
It was fucking amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. And then backstage, there was a big load of kerfuffle, and then there was all these kind of like St. John's turning and running around everywhere, and there was like a big ramp from the main stage back down to like the area where this like ambulance thing had pulled up, and unbeknown to me, I've since seen it on TV, but Jed would kind of just run out and we're like, hey, what's up, and like and done this fucking crazy jump and literally snapped his leg. Fucking bless him, he tried to carry on and his leg was fucked. I see the wheelchair and him in it coming down this ramp with his brother with his arm around him, I think it was Wood that broke his leg, and Jed was like going, it'll be all right. And so I was like, whoa, and I literally could not wait to get my phone out to film it.
Evil bastard. And
to the point where the guy from St. John's was like, mate, will you get out of the way? And then he sort of turned around and he was like, are you fucking filming? And I was just like, yes. And like, what, as if I'm going to miss that.
Right. That's brilliant. You could have got you could have probably sold that video to.
Oh, mate, the minute I put my phone away and looked around, there was loads of other blokes just sitting there pissing themselves looking at their phone when they just videoed it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's twins. I'm spent. I'm done. There's others, but, you know, that'll do.
How long have we been going? Because we want to try and do 2-hour long ones.
All right, 35 minutes.
Right. Well, I'm going to save my next one, and
we don't care about your admin.
Right, and I'll tell you what we're doing then. For 25 minutes, while we're talking, just mentioned Tifa on the beach, Gareth Roche, I hope I've pronounced Roche right, not Roche, definitely Roche, he suggested that we do festival lineups. Now, I'm going to expand on that and say any artist, band, alive or dead.
All right.
And so...
can you get me a beer quickly?
Yes.
Please.
Brad, do you want a beer?
Yes, please, mate.
Yeah,
mate.
Oh, just knock the mic there. Thank you. There you go. Yeah,
oh, so we can have a little game of Wanker. You ever played Wanker?
Guys, we're not going to do anything that light.
Just quickly, pop your wrist in here. Brad, I'll need you to do this. Pop your wrist in here.
Right.
Oh, you're going to be under the mic. You need to get... Right, cause an accident.
Why don't you play Wanker with Brad?
Okay. Yeah, somehow it'll work.
What is Wanker? Explain what Wanker is. You're both putting your... There's people listening, ain't got a fucking clue.
Get your hand over there. You've got to play or else... Fuck's sake. By default,
right,
Wanker.
So we've now got the plastic...
Oh, you Wanker.
My sausage finger just broke it. Right, so...
What we have to do, Brad, is we count to three and then we pull away.
Right, explain what you're doing. Because
we count to three and we pull...
They know that, you dickhead. Right. But what are you actually doing?
So basically... Where are our hands? Our hands... Mine and Brad's hands... are in a four-pack, you know, the plastic thing that holds a four-pack of beer together. We're we've got a fist each inside one of the rings of the plastic thing. And what we're going to do is on three, we're going to pull away.
Right.
And whoever's still got the beer thing on their hand, everyone, we just point at them and shout, Wanker.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Stuart, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So
3, 2, 1.
Wanker! Sorry, Brad.
Oh, Brad,
bringing you into the fold and playing Wanker with you. That was fun. Sorry, mate. So
that's all right.
Top five Fezzy experiences.
No, not
festival lineups.
Lineups. Right. So I'll keep it pretty brief then, because we just chat for too long, so we're going to try and keep this to two specific one-hour ones, yeah? And these are going to go up on YouTube as well. Right, so at number five, I haven't really got these in any order as such. Right, number five, I'm going to say Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. I love Nick Cave because he's in my top five. But live, it's... one of the most incredible, sinister, sexy, weird, angular experiences you're ever going to see. It's fucking brilliant. He's like, he's just incredible.
Yeah.
And his voice is amazing. The band are off the chain. I would suggest if you have never seen any footage of Nick Cave live, I think it was not last Glastonbury, maybe the one before that. If you put in Nick Cave, Glastonbury, Stagger Lee, there's a pretty full-on performance of Stagger Lee going on there. Been a big fan from Birthday Party right the way through his career, and actually got to go to, he put an album out, Nocturama, probably... 2002 maybe, and I got invited to a album playback, and I used to get invited to quite a lot of them because at the time I was a DJ, and the people used to send you your promos and that, sometimes like the record company put a bit of money in, and you go to like a little venue or a bar and they'd play the album over a sound system, free drinks, and then they'd kind of want to know your thoughts on it. So it was like,
oh, wow.
I said to my mate, whose name was Nick, funnily enough, I said, come Nick, we'll go up to the Nick Cave one. We thought it was free booze, so it was like, brilliant, we're just going to get pissed and have a night out.
Yeah.
And then when we walked in, there was a Bush Hall, we walked in and there was just a grand piano there, and I thought, well, that looks nice. And like, so I said, come and go and sit by the grand piano. And at the time, you could smoke indoors, and there was a ashtray on top of the piano, so I was sitting next to the piano having a glass of wine and having a fag, and then literally I think it was Warren Ellis, Nick Cave, and might be Mick Cave, I'm not sure, come out. And Nick Cave literally sat where you're sitting now, away from me, and literally just went straight into, I think it was No More Shall We Part or 15 Feet of Pure White Snow, one of them.
On that piano.
And I had a shit old style flash camera where you'd take a photo, wind it on, which I used to take out and about these things just in case you ever meet someone famous and you wanted to take a photo. And I was thinking, fucking hell, like I'm 3 foot from Nick Cave, sharing an ashtray. And he had like a brown velvet tux on and he just looked the fucking shit. And
you fancy Nick Cave a little bit, don't you?
He's a pretty fucking cool guy. But yeah, there was like obviously invited people from the press that had these super duper cameras that didn't flash, that just kind of just done these, like, yeah. You know, and I just thought, no one's going to believe me that I'm here. So I kind of got my camera out, and in this, bear in mind, everyone's sitting at tables with like candles and bottles of red wine. It's all very Nick Cave and cool. And there's these press people all laying on the floor just trying to stay out of the way and take these subtle pictures. I'm sitting literally and I've just gone and just fucking lit up the whole of Bush Hall with my fucking Kodak Instamatic shit camera.
Oh, man. Fun snaps.
It fucking was. And like straight away, like the fucking people from the label were like, give us a camera. And I was like, what? And they're like, you can't be taking photos in here. I was like, you're not having a camera. And they were like, you can't take photos. And I was like, I don't care. And they're like, give me a camera. I went, you will have to fucking wrestle this from me. Like, I said, I'm just a fan. Like, and yeah. I can't believe I'm sitting this close to Nick Cave whilst he's playing the piano. And I argued and threatened a little bit and they fucked off. And I've now got a big A3 photograph of Nick Cave sitting where you're sitting playing the piano, and it's fucking great.
Mate,
afterwards,
that's
quite
so cool.
An embarrassing thing happened. Literally just walked to the bar after that, and it was like, fucking hell, we can go and say hello to Nick Cave.
Took another one.
No, I didn't.
I
definitely put the camera away then, but oh, hang on.
Oh, Nick,
I might have to change the film. But, yeah, forgot about that. But I was sitting there with my friend Nick, and I went to him. I'm going to go and sell out Nick Cave, and he went, "Yeah, go on then." So I walked over and I just said, "Hey, dear Nick, really nice to meet you. I really enjoyed that. And I really like what you do." And he was like, "Thanks, mate." And I was like, "Cheers." And shook his hand and walked off back to the table, feeling really fucking pleased myself. And my mate Nick then went, "Oh, I ain't got the balls to do it." And I went, he seemed really nice. I went, "Just go and say hello if you want to go and say hello." "Oh, no, I don't know. I'll say something stupid." I went, "All you've got to say is, hello, Nick. I enjoyed that. Nice to meet you."
Yeah.
So he drinks his glass of wine. He's like, "Right, I'm fucking doing it." So he's got up and he's walked over now. And literally, as he's got up to Nick Cave and he's just about to say hello, someone taps on Nick Cave's shoulder and goes, "Hey, Nick." And it was Jarvis Cocker. Just as my friend has stopped in front of him and has now looked left and seen Jarvis Cocker as well and has just blown his fucking mind. And he's now standing there. They've both just kind of stopped, looked back at my mate Nick, who's now thinking, okay, my audience is Jarvis Cocker and Nick Cave. What am I going to say? He goes with, "Hello, Nick. My name's Nick." And he was like, "That's great." He was like, "I'm sorry." Just walked off. Fucking terrible.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I'd go for Nick Cave, just for some sinister kind of darkness on stage. Again, this isn't in any order. I would go The Prodigy. I've seen Nick Cave and I've seen The Prodigy a few times, and I caught The Prodigy at V.
Yeah.
In
97.
Fat of the Land, and
mate.
And I just vividly remember
Chelmsford.
Yeah, And I've never seen a field move like it. And it was I like Prodigy a lot. I think they make really good music. It was fucking incredible. Energy. And I just remember Poison when that takes a while for that beat to come as well.
So good though.
And when it dropped, it was fucking huge, and it was brilliant. It was just at the time that Fat of the Land had blown up as well.
Yeah.
And it was Keith was as crazy as Keith ever was at that point, and it was just fucking awesome. And I just remember thinking, it was the first time that, because I'd kind of missed rave culture growing up, because I'd kind of hit the Stone Roses and stuff like that, and so my club youth was more that.
Yeah.
And so I missed a lot of kind of raving, and acid ass as such. And it just almost felt like the closest thing, that it was the fact that I didn't stop dancing for the whole set and just thought, and I was just caught up in it.
Where was you? In the crowd?
Nowhere the sand disc was. I was about 45. No, fuck knows where I was. There was about a fucking bazillion people there.
Because for me, that is if we were to say top five moments in your life, or especially weekends, V97 is in that top five. Basically, on the way home, on the Monday, I think, I didn't say anything. And all my mates were just like, Chris, you've not said anything. And I was like, I've got nothing to say. I've had the best time of my life.
Yeah.
I was just, I was speechless. And, that prodigy set.
Sounds like you must have been a right laugh.
That blew me away. That is probably one of my most favourite moments in my life, was that fucking performance. And I was probably 10 metres, central, 10 metres back from the front.
Yeah.
Just dripping in sweat.
Yeah.
And it just fucking, that, they are just insane, you know, when you think, well, Liam's the guy who produces it, Maxine was predominantly originally the guy who was on the mic, then you had Leroy and Keith, who were dancers, who were just amazing. It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense from the culture that they came from and where they went. And Fat of the Land is that was big for me at that age. I think I was 17.
Yeah. That V97 was it's really weird, because you look at the V lineups now, and I understand that scenes change and music changes, and it's hard to, you know, generate money at festivals and what, but it did seem like it was more alternative and exciting then. You know, you weren't going to get fucking hell, the Saturdays playing and shit like that. Do you know what I mean? It was really good. And it was one of my favourite festivals, was V97.
100%.
I
completely agree. The lineup is shit top.
So I'd have the Prodigy just for pure big beats and just going a bit fucking crazy. I'd slow it down then, and I'd have Marvin Gaye.
Okay, nice. Yeah, lovely.
I'd like to see. Oh, do you know what? Yeah, Marvin Gaye, because I think kind of that mid-afternoon slot, sun's shining, I want the best parts of the Motown, the early Motown stuff, and then I want to hear the whole of what's going on.
Yeah.
And a few tracks like Distant Lovers and stuff like that from Let's Get It On. That would be... incredible.
Yeah.
As much as I adore his voice, I don't necessarily think he's got the greatest voice. I think soul voices, I'll lean towards Jackie Wilson or Sam Cooke.
Okay.
I think he's just incredible. Absolutely incredible, Marvin Gaye. He's one of my, whatever mood I'm in, go-to artists.
Cozy put it on today when I was working with him. It's a small world, isn't it? He loves him.
He's fucking brilliant. Absolutely fucking brilliant. Okay, then
it'd be a good Sunday night finisher at one of the big ones as well.
No. I've got me Sunday night finisher, I'll move that up to the top spot. Right. At number two, would be the Smiths. you know. Was too young to see him.
Yeah.
When they're about, seen Morrissey loads. Yeah. And it's brilliant. And but I'd love to have caught the Smiths live and seen Ma and Mike and Andy and just the whole thing. Just yeah, to have seen. I don't know. As soon as now in its entirety.
I'm genuinely gutted for you.
Yeah, I'd love to have seen that. It. And I know that I'll never see it because it's not going to happen, is it? It's never going to happen. But I've spoke about the Smiths way too much on every single... I'm like you and karate. And I think there would be quite a lot of people that would pay a lot of money. You know, the amount of hype that people got about a reformed Stone Roses... whether it'll be the same, I'm sure, in a couple of years when Oasis do whatever they're going to do. But I think you will probably find that both of them bands would probably be the first in line to buy a ticket to see a Smiths reunion show. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily want to see a reunion now because I think it would... I'm talking about these bands in their prime.
Yeah.
Prodigy, I'm sure, still smash it live, but I would want to see what I saw then. I know for a fact Nick Cave still delivers, but and then at number one to close the evening, I would want the full Elvis Vegas.
Wow!
Amazing. I want the full fucking orchestra, Sweet Inspirations. I would want the whole fucking shebang, jumpsuit.
Mate, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I would just want him fucking ripping out American Trilogy and then just tearing it up with Burning Love, Suspicious Minds.
He's a fantastic performer,
man. Them some of the the 68 comeback, he's fucking incredible. There was not a better looking fucking man on the planet at that point than Elvis Presley. You know, even if you watch, there was a documentary which I had it on video, and I'm sure it's on YouTube and such. I think it's called Elvis 56, and it was just a load of photographs and some footage of him when he first toured.
Right.
Like, all black and white, and fuck me. I mean, that geezer was off the chain call. Like, his moves, his voice, he was just a fucking dude. And as much as I like watching the hip shaking, young Elvis, the kind of 68 comeback, there's the end of that when he does If I Can Dream. Fuck me. White suit, I believe. Google that now. Go on YouTube and just watch Elvis, If I Can Dream. And he's just fucking brilliant. And it just kind of builds and builds and builds. And you can see in his movements, like at the end where he's saying, if I can stand, if I can crawl, if I can walk, whatever. He's starting to swing his arm and his hips are going a bit. And you could see he was starting as a performer to then move into the full... fucking firing that arm off when he's busting out Suspicious Minds and Burning Love. Even like when he's fat and he's sitting on a piano doing covers of Bridge Over Troubled Waters and that. I just amazing. Sonically with the orchestras and stuff. Sounds huge. I bought a CD about a year and a half ago. Kids got it for me. And it was Elvis with the London Philharmonic. And it had been remastered, and I think when you hear them, what's the track that is fucking insane? I think it's Burning Love, and it's like super pumped. It's like production's gone through the roof, and it's a fucking great tune.
I would never have thought to put him in there. And you saying that, it makes good sense.
He's the king, for
many people to
I love the Beatles. Honourable mentions.
Yeah,
everyone wants to see the Beatles. I saw Brian Wilson a little while ago. Amazing. I would have put an honourable mention in for full orchestra again. Shirley Bassey.
It's your first non-penis related performer. It's quite cock heavy.
It is.
Top five. That doesn't matter. I don't think there's. You know, it's not. A, Some meritocracy.
I've seen Madonna, and she was. If that would have been, if I could see Madonna, maybe Who's That Girl era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have some of that. Like that would have been pretty spectacular. I think that's it. I've seen Bob Dylan. Just bands I've seen that have blown me away, that I'd want to see again, are Nick Cave and the Prodigy. I've seen. Yeah, honorable mention of Depeche Mode. Do you know what? Didn't even think of Joy Division. I'm sticking with my five. No? And Vegas Elvis, I think.
It's a fucking great shout, mate. Steve the King. We were talking about orchestras. That made me think one song I'd love to hear is Ella Fitzgerald did Sunshine of Your Love. Yeah. That song for me blows me away. I'd kill to see that live. That'd be fucking dope. But yeah, that's a good five. He threw me with the Elvis. Didn't see it coming, but it's such an obvious one.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, look, how are we doing for time?
You want to pad this bitch out for an hour, we've got 3 minutes, 30 seconds.
Right, okay. Should we just rattle off a quick stupid one?
Go on, then.
We've got one here. Oh, dear. We've done people we want to punch in the face, haven't we?
Yeah.
Let's just rattle that one off. Top five British TV comedy shows.
Well, you want to rattle that off? I can't just fucking throw names. Well, it'd be
Office. I'll throw names. You tell me if they're in your top five.
All right.
The Office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peep Show.
Oh, yeah. It could well be.
When I was thinking about it today, I'm thinking about growing up as well, and the young ones. Blew my mind.
For me, it would be Bottom.
Actually,
Bottom and Red Wolf would have to go in there because at the time, that's when I discovered my sense of humour, was Bottom and Red Wolf was coming on, and I'd be upstairs in my room, furiously masturbating. No, I was about 14, and Bottom, I'd be crying with tears. And I didn't understand, I didn't know you could laugh like that. You know, when you're a kid, you're sort of like, silly things, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I started watching things like Bottom, Red the Wolf, Vic and Bob, Smell of Reason, Mortimer.
Oh.
Fucking absolutely, just that is when I started thinking, oh my God.
Yeah.
Comedy's the one. Yeah. Who else? Partridge, obviously.
Yeah. In Between Us.
It's very good. I don't know if it'd make my top five. It'd be my top 10. Yeah.
Royal Family.
No, not seen it all.
Definitely be in mine. Fools and Horses.
It could well do, actually. Yeah, that could slip in there. It is a nation favourite, but even so, it's a nation favourite for a fucking good reason, right?
I like The Trip. I think The Trip.
No, I haven't really got into that yet.
I know I'll be in my top five. 99.
99, yeah, that is quite good, actually.
Adore 99. Anything Julia Davis does, he's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've rattled that off. Should we... let's just keep it under the hour. That way we're not going to fill up these lovely people's phones with us talking shite. We've been concise tonight.
Well done.
Yeah, we've not drunk that much. What are you drinking?
Well, I'm driving, mate.
No, I know.
I'm drinking... Can we advertise this beer on...
Oh, you're drinking a cold can of refreshing Carlin original lager.
Oh, God damn, it's good.
Dear.
I'm not a big fan of Carlin, actually, to be quite honest with you.
Okay, but, they're never going to be advertising in the podcast, are they? Who do I look at if I want to look at the camera? Me. Right. Underneath this, there's a little thing which you say subscribe. And all you audio guys, again, when you download it, go on iTunes and subscribe. But if you're watching it, go on that little thing down there that says subscribe. Also, leave some comments. Give us 5 stars, but just say really fucking stupid shit about us.
About Stu.
All right, yeah. Or Chris.
Exclusively about Stuart.
Brilliant. Yeah. So just do that and share this to your friends. And cheers for watching. We haven't got to take it to exactly the hour because we're going to do the intro.
20 seconds. We can end 10 seconds earlier than an hour if we go now. Ready?
No, don't say that because you're going to try and get the last word in. Brick.
Gremlin. And Stu thought that my top five twins choice would be really boring.
Well, more for you, pal. More for you. Wow. And what a great festival lineup Shoes put on. I'd go to see that. If people on the lineup weren't already dead. So, hope you enjoyed that. And now, all I've got left to do is introduce you to the band and the song that we're going to play for you now. It's a tune by a band called The Queensberrys, who we've had play for us when we've been doing live music for many years. They were super young. I remember when I first tried to book them, they were definitely under 18 at that point. So that's always a bit of a nightmare because you don't want all their underage mates storming your venue and drinking. Or maybe you do, actually, to be honest with you. But they were really talented then and they've only got better. The tune's called Won't Shut Up. I think there's a video to go with that. And you can catch the Queensberrys on Instagram at Queensberrys. That's Q-U-E-E-N-S-B-U-R-Y-S. Yeah, okay. And if you need to find their Twitter and that, just fucking look for it yourself, you lazy cunts. Enjoy. And then after this, we'll catch you at part two.
Peace.
I got the fever, this time I'm coming down. Am I too young to bear this cry alone? Dead on the wire, suspended from the air. I gave it all, there's nothing left. And if you want me, come on and let me know. Contrast your body and I'll corrupt your soul. It's just the other that's gonna make you go, 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 go. Somebody go to my soul. And everyone knows that you won't shut up. You won't shut up, you won't shout low. You cut down to my soul. Silence from my aching lungs. Did I give too much to feel this low? Yeah, if you want it, come on, let me know. Can touch your body and I'll corrupt your soul. You're just the other that's gonna make you go, 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 go.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.